Fight. Welcome to the Philosophy of Fighting Podcast with your hosts, Arturo and Anoop.
What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on?
Sorry about that.
How's it going? Nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anoop, too, Kev, Anoop. All right, Kev. So just to intro you, I guess, to people that might be listening, Kevin is my instructor. He is a 10th planet black belt under Eddie Bravo. He competes more than any other instructor I've probably had. He's always competing, always pushing his students to compete. And funnily enough, we both started jiu-jitsu almost around the same time under the same instructor way back, which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
And we've had him on the podcast too, Elias, which Anoop has met before too.
Nice.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Because he's got some stories.
Yeah. With Elias, we always have stories.
Well, we'll get into a couple. He may not even remember.
For sure.
We should both get on, and maybe we can talk about some of those memories.
That would be great, actually. Yeah, we will do that for sure.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, yeah, thanks for the compliments, brother. It's hard to compete and have a gym and stuff, but I want to do both, so I got to just keep trying it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I would also say what's very unique about Kevin is he has probably the one of the most unique grappling styles I've seen. Like if there was like a silhouette of people grappling and you had to like guess their style, there's a lot of guys that you could probably guess, like the Rutola bros, but Kev is definitely one of these guys. Once you've rolled with him once or twice, it's like, oh, that's his style is pretty wild.
Thank you.
Why do you think your style is the way it is?
It was crazy is I felt like this question was going to come because I know my style is weird. Like I got it. I admit, like I know it's different, you know, because I kind of run with things that I really just, it feels good. So like, I got to keep going that route, you know, I got to see what that's about. I don't think it's because I want to be different fully. I feel like just being different is a very good strategy to have. I know jiu-jitsu works and you can use the most basic jiu-jitsu and get it done if you want. And some do. And they're like some of the best in the world to this day, you know, some of those OGs. But I feel like it's also strategic to have a different style. So things that can counter basic jiu-jitsu, you know, for a while, I felt like I was a counter 10th planet player. I feel like all my moves, it's like, okay, well, everyone does this. I'm going to counter them with this, you know, because it's like, you know, I'm just seeing ways to reverse it eventually. And sometimes when they're teaching stuff, I'll always be thinking, how can I reverse this? Sometimes I think it was because not with Elias, but my next school, I had like a purple belt instructor. And I felt like I always questioned him in a way. Like his moves and stuff, how much was he confident with them? So I was like finding ways to reverse what he would teach. And I understand even the moves I teach can be for sure reversed, you know, but it's kind of, it was just questioning people taught me to think that way. But I was thinking about this on the ride home, why my style's different. And this was also a reason that I came up with. And then I was like, oh shit, this is going to be perfect for the podcast. Like Eddie Bravo, he had new jiu-jitsu and that's what I kind of fell in love with. And I was, I don't know. I mean, I was following the game, not before Eddie Bravo and starting 10th Planet, I don't think, but it's like, you know, about Pride and UFC. I was watching like K1 and just into martial arts, watching Boss Root and self-defense videos, you know? And then you see like all these basic jiu-jitsu out there. And then I saw rubber guard. I saw new stuff, you know, stuff that wasn't old really, even though other people would argue that. I'm just saying who's making it famous and bringing new moves out there that some schools used to argue doesn't even work, you know, and I'm seeing the proof of it working when I'm doing jiu-jitsu. Like I was a guard player. You know, I don't consider myself a guard player at all anymore, really. But yeah, I was seeing new jiu-jitsu work against people that they haven't seen it before. So I'm just, it's just
and what,
like,
what makes it so new?
I'm just saying Eddie Bravo's shit was new compared to
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, even though you're right, it's like the Twister isn't new. It's the wrestler's guillotine from wrestling, but he made it popular and he brought it to jiu-jitsu. It's weird how you have to bring moves from other martial arts to jiu-jitsu because jiu-jitsu like works, you know, and whatever works in grappling, you got to put it in there, you know. But yeah, like the rubber guard and the specific lockdown electric chair stuff would be probably considered new, because especially electric chair is illegal in a lot of tournaments, and even still you can't stretch the groin like that.
Dang, really?
Yeah, like, you know, Josh, he gets DQ'd half the time for getting electric chairs in IBJJF.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's up to the ref's discretion. So that's just kind of how it's going sometimes, you know. And then I would say the Twister is illegal. You cannot opener or crucifix in ADCC. So I don't know if the Twister neck crank is allowed or not. I would have to check, you know. I'm getting a little off topic, even though that's interesting in itself.
Yeah, it is.
So with Eddie Bravo's new jiu-jitsu working, I was like, okay, that's not really new anymore. Like I'm doing his moves still, and I feel like those OG 10th Planet moves work a lot. And I was using them today, you know, but I also implemented new things that I'm falling into, you know? So when I hit my weird, like quarter guard moves and stuff that no one's seen before, I just feel like I'm kind of carrying on the tradition of Eddie Bravo of just having new moves out there, you know? So I'm not really naming them that much. And, you know, like you see the false reap leg lock. It's like really hot right now and stuff like that. I'm just not naming them yet and stuff, but I feel like I should be hitting them in competition like more anyways. Like I'm just hitting like still leg locks sometimes. And, you know, like, you know, I have all my old other moves, and whatever I'm falling into that, you know, day or role, that's just, I got to take what's there. But sometimes I should be forcing my new moves just to show people the stuff, you know?
Yeah, maybe, man. Yeah.
Maybe it's good to have it in the back pocket, and then I got to use it at this high level tournament when no one's seen it before, you know? So
that's true too. Do you think a lot of competitors do?
Man, this is a tricky situation, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the good guys definitely don't have to, you know, because I'm talking about like A class fucking ADCC veterans. If they're hitting moves in practice, they can be like teaching a whole fucking system on BJJ fanatics because they know it works. They hit it against their teammates who are also ADCC competitors probably and shit, you know? But like, I don't know, for me, if it's working in the gym, even on black belts and stuff, when I know I'm not like famous and I'm not a household jiu-jitsu name, even if they have those, they may not even have them yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I would have to be hitting them in competition at my black belt tournaments and shit, and like showing them like, this is how you can do it. I've done that quite a few times, I guess. I'm starting to share my moves. I started this year. I usually never have a New Year's resolution. I just started on January 1st and I'm just doing it. So I don't know. It just happened like that. It was a business tactic. So
yeah, I like it. Y'all should follow Kevin. What's your Instagram handle?
I think you can type in Kevin Burbrick, or it's a Truckmaster Flex right now. It might be Truckmaster_Flex.
How do you balance being a competitor and a teacher? Or do you think just teaching helps you learn more, which makes you a better competitor?
Yeah, fuck. Craig Jones is doing it, right? I think he's the main teacher at his gym, right? I'm there every day, so I can train every day. I mean, obviously, it's going to work. You know, and it might work better. Your other option, if you want to be a competitor, is you gotta be rich already.
Yeah.
Gio does it. Boogie does it. There's some people that do it. It should be probably more common. I think it's going to be more common pretty soon, you know, but it's hard to get that initial money to start the gym, to train full time, to compete full time. You know, while my gym wasn't doing that well, I took a little breather from competing, but I'm ready to go back out there for sure. And I have been, I'm doing something almost every month, probably sometimes twice a month. You know, there's the ADCC opens now. It's like kind of It's like a better IBJJF is going to be like pretty prominent if you win it soon and stuff. So I'm stoked for those two, those competitions.
Yeah, it's nice to see more outlets for no-gi jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, especially ADCC rule set too. I like that at least.
It's just the life I live right now. So maybe, I don't know if that's all I see, but I don't see like gi being more popular than no-gi anymore.
Oh yeah, definitely not anymore. I'm glad it's moved. I mean, it makes sense. No-gi is way more exciting to watch. Things move faster. It's more athletic. I feel like you don't get stuck as much. So you can kind of get creative and how scrambling. I think it's just more entertaining. So if it's more entertaining, people watch it more. People watch it more. There's more money in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel that, man. Scrambles, man. That's why I like no-gi. But
yeah,
there's a lot of cons to gi anyways. So, but you can get scratched, you can get hurt, it's stickier. It's like, I don't know, those geese scratch the shit out of me.
Yeah.
They're not, it's not fun at all to do gi. So I guess you're badass if you do it, but it's, I don't see it helping people in no gi, you know? So I don't feel like you need to know it anymore. If you're East Coast wearing a jacket, sure, train gi makes more sense.
Mm.
Now people, you can just fucking grab their jacket and flip them around. I get that, but it's not as fun.
I want to get into the 10th planet system a little bit.
Yeah.
Explain to someone that knows jiu-jitsu, but doesn't know what 10th planet is and what makes it unique.
So yeah, 10th planet is you like jiu-jitsu, but you believe in flat earth. No, I'm just kidding. What I think is about 10th planet, like explaining the difference, I would say it's the first smart or jiu-jitsu designed like from the ground up for cage fighting. That's what Eddie Bravo was designing it for. And how cool is that? Especially when you haven't cage fought, but you're still like making it work. And it was designed for MMA, not even like, you know, in jiu-jitsu, regular, even Gracie, they designed it for like self-defense for sure, you know, but self-defense is different. There's eye gouges and shit too. So like this one was designed for cage fighting for MMA. So if you have full guard, it was just, everything is keep them so close to you. So they can't get a good punch in. Every move that was like Eddie Bravo based, like lockdown, it's, you can't really get hit from there, you know? So it was all very, just keep them close, clean. And of course, it's no gi. So just closer to, once again, MMA, you know? Mm-hmm. What got me into it was just like, I wanted to not get looked at weird when I was, if I walked into the dojo and I smelled like weed. I was kind of like, I can vibe with these people, you know? It's also definitely a community-based thing. So like, I just fit in over there better. And for a while, it's like, you felt like a jiu-jitsu, like delinquent reject or something, you know? But that's just for people who didn't believe in it yet. But now, I mean, the proof is there. You know, we've had like 5 ADCC competitors. The system hasn't been around that long. We've had UFC champions at our 10th planet.
Tony Ferguson was my favorite. Like, and I feel like his anacondas and his subs. Who else? Yeah. And Ben Saunders too?
Yeah, dude, he's my homie.
Isn't he 10th planet?
Of course. Yeah, he's my homie. So he was also a black belt from another system. But the same day I got my first degree, he got his black belt. So
we're black belt
brothers too. Yeah, dude. We talk almost every day. He's a cool dude. Yeah.
Do you think you need to have a certain type of body? Because they're like long-limbed people, to make like the 10th planet system more effective? Like, do you think?
I don't know. Well, 10th planet is not what it was. Every school teaches different things now. That's a good question. Yeah, man. Like, if you look at like Keith Kerkorian, who doesn't know really lockdown or rubber guard, and he just has a totally different style, you know? Like you would wrestle, PJ wrestles. PJ's like a crazy guard passer and stuff. That's not what the 10th planet system was, that's for sure. You know, it didn't start like that. So 10th planet is everything now. There's all styles for sure. You can see it from everybody. Like Kyle Bame is like a back taker. Yeah, you got Keith and PJ who are, I mean, they got their own styles too, but they seem similar to me in many ways. But yeah, PJ is a wrestler, top game. Keith is a leg locker. And then you got Gio, he's got so many different styles to him too as well. But he was considered a leg locker for a long time because he would truck and calf crush people. Mm. And then Boogie, he'll be rubber guard, you know? So for that 10th planet OG system, I almost said, yes, it might be beneficial to be lanky, but man, they're freaky flexible. They're breakdancers, you know? Yeah. Eddie Bravo's not lanky, you know?
Yeah.
He's like a stocky Mexican guy. He's not like super stocky, like rolling around heavy, but he's pretty grippy and just stocky. And like if you're good at squeezing for long periods of time, that is way more beneficial for Eddie Bravo style than being lanky. And I feel like being lanky makes you unsqueezy.
Interesting.
Unsqueezy. First time that's ever been said in the whole world. Yeah, dude. So like I was a full guard guy for the longest time, like through purple belt, probably. I think during purple belt, I was realizing I can't full guard everyone. It's so hard to get full guard. You got to basically let them almost pass and then you get full guard. That's just not a good way to play usually, you know, even though I'm a trap guy. I designed my game to have them use some energy to pass. And I've seen the idea is I've seen all these traditional passes. So I should have a counter for that, you know? So still putting yourself in danger, you know? But if I couldn't full guard someone, and even if I got in someone's full guard, there's times where you can have that perfect structure. You get that opponent and you can't rubber guard them. And then what? You get done squeezing for 5-6 minutes trying to triangle them. You get desperate. You throw up a triangle, you get passed. So my next path, my pursuit in jiu-jitsu, if you don't mind me just going off on a tangent, rubber guard is just its own thing. There's like 5 entries to full guard and then you're fucked, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just, once again, followed Eddie Bravo's style. It made so much sense to me because I wanted to get good at wrestling and stuff, but it seemed so hard at the time when I didn't know shit. Like I had ideas, but I felt so awkward doing it, you know? So Eddie Bravo style is pull quarter guard and it eliminates like almost all the options. It's very easy to get quarter guard. Mm-hmm. You know, you can almost always get quarter guard. If the guy like passes, like if you only do quarter guard on one side, the guy passes with his right leg forward, which they do a lot of the times, you just pull fucking quarter guard. And it eliminates almost all their options. So then if you can get really good at quarter guard and beat him from there, you're going to dictate the game. So when you get quarter guard, you learn to wrestle. So that's where I first learned to wrestle, is getting quarter guard and then getting up to my knees. Mm. And I thought quarter guard was a 10th planet name for a while, but quarter guard's been a thing. But yeah, I mean, quarter guard's where I learned to wrestle and get confident, like, just getting to my knees and then fighting from there on people. And then I felt like I was finding truck from all the quarter guard options. And then I got good at truck. And then I'm just obsessed with wrestling right now. It's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, wrestling is fun for sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, leg locks were actually kind of always in my game too, because, you know, how we started with Elias and who's learned from Dean Lister, you know? Mm-hmm. So Ashi and stuff, man, that was from day one. People thought it was like new to jiu-jitsu, but I mean, Dean Lister did Sambo and all types of shit.
Dean was a high level Sambo. Dean has always liked no gi better. I don't think he ever he rarely puts on the gi, Dean. I think it's more like ceremoniously. And yeah, Dean always stressed the importance of leg locks.
Yeah. Speaking of Sambo, did you know that there's a guy that beat Fedor fought yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't even look to see. Yeah, it was Fedor versus Ryan Bader. Bader.
Yeah.
There was also in the UFC, there was a guy who's beaten Fedor before in like Sambo championships. Uh-huh. He fought that day in the UFC in China.
Oh, that's crazy.
I believe it was. And Fedor retired today or yesterday, right?
That was Did he win?
No, he lost. He got smashed. Okay. It was like really sad. It was like, but they were even kind of talking about it. They're like, MMA heroes never go out well, like very rarely. Like, and it's like you always see like your fucking heroes get hurt.
Yeah, dude. I'm right with you, dude. It's sad.
It was sad.
It's depressing. But Ryan Bader, he's like a giant Khabib style. A lot of the times he'll just pin them down and trap their arm and just bang them, you know, like fucking right up over the top of that.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Fedor has been fighting so long.
Yeah.
I mean, remember when they used to rumor, they rumored the fight like Randy Couture? Randy Couture has been retired for like how many years? Like all these guys, everyone that's fought Fedor has been like long retired, like really.
And that guy that beat Fedor, who fought in the UFC the same day as him, lost two. He should retire. They retire on the same day. That would be good for both of them. That's and interesting crazy. That it happened, you know? Like,
yeah.
I should tell that guy to maybe stop. I heard he was badass, though. Ben Saunders and I were on Discord watching the fights, and he knew all about that guy, so he told me that. He was like, that guy beat Fedor before he was unbeaten, which doesn't make sense. That's why I remember it. But it was funny that he said that. But yeah, it was like before his reign in Pride where he was undefeated. He did that Sambo thing. And I think he got his title taken away from that guy. And he had this like crazy scar on his chest. I was asking him what that was. He's like, yeah, he was like stabbed. That guy was crazy.
Huh.
I think he was from Hungary. I forget that guy's name right now.
Huh.
But what do you think is going to happen with John Jones? What's his future?
Oh, man, I've said it time and time again. I don't think he fights again. I know he's got a match scheduled. I just think he finds ways to fuck it up.
That's interesting. When everyone was talking about it, like Friday night, I was telling them like, you guys think that's going to happen? You know, I just like said that for some reason, but it seems like, man, it's like a big hype fight. For some reason, that seemed like a bad match for John Jones to start. You know?
Yeah, I think so too. But people keep saying like John Jones is a safe bet. I'm like, I don't think so at all.
I don't think it's a safe bet. It's going to be a close fight, though. He is still like the greatest ever, right? But he's been out of the game how many years? 3-4 years of no fighting.
Yeah, and even like those last couple of years were like some split decisions. I thought he lost a couple of them.
I guess that's what you got to do, though. Like your options are get a burner-ish fight to look good and warm up at that weight. The other route is just call out one of the top motherfuckers right away and fucking do it, you know? But do a championship fight then. I don't know.
I mean, who else is he going to fight? They're all scary up there at heavyweight, you know? Like, I don't know if there are easy fights, so you might as well fight somebody that's...
True.
Yeah.
For the championship, you know? He wants the belt. He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah. No, yeah, you better. You better.
Yeah, man.
In his mind, he definitely thinks he could beat anybody in the world at any day.
I think you have to, though.
Yeah. Do you think his plan is to get the belt and keep it, or... to beat the championship, test for his drugs, get it taken away, but you still beat him and you're still like, you can be like the disputed goat, but always fail the drug test, right?
Yeah.
I like that perspective. That's funny. It's like, whatever. Like, it's not legal, but I still never lost, right?
Yeah.
And like,
I like that. The disputed like goat.
About
the
disputed champion.
Disputed.
Chael would come up with that. Chael would love that. That's
he'd
run with that forever.
It sucks his grappling event stopped. I wanted to kind of do that one.
Mm.
It was in the cage and shit.
Was it Submission Underground? I think it was.
Yeah, it looked fun.
Definitely. Yeah, that is cool. I do like that. One Championship's doing that now, like the grappling in the cage and stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool to have walls. I don't know, man. It just adds another variable to grappling that, you know, all the other martial arts kind of have. So I like it when there's walls.
Hell yeah, man. It's just another instrument. And it's kind of rather unexplored sometimes in the UFC, but.
Yeah, especially if you're just interested in a self-defense aspect. I just, there's always walls around you, man. Whenever you get into an altercation, there's a wall. Yeah. So it's good to know.
Yeah, for sure. I should put some chairs in there too or something for you to try.
Yeah. What do you think about like car jitsu? I'm sure you're seeing that all over the place. Car jitsu, there's like phone booth fighting. You've seen all that crazy Russian stuff?
Yeah. I don't know about the car jitsu though. It's really funny how they both start. They both like go to like take off their seatbelt every time.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I would put my hand on that guy's fucking shit so he couldn't.
Yeah.
And, like, undo it myself so he's fucked or something. Like, I don't know. It's like they're drawing a gun, but they're like unbuckling. It's an interesting fucking thing, that's for sure. Oh, you just gotta pay me enough. I'll try it. man.
Maybe that's the method to go against the grain. Just be like the world's greatest at all those random things and then sneak in. I always feel like it's always the Russian stuff and it just feels rapey, like horrible. Like why do you need to be able to control somebody in a car? Like that feels there's like an ulterior motive, rapey. Like you shouldn't be good at that.
Yeah. That's interesting. They should start in weird scenarios, you know, and see if like who can defend this situation this many times, like the one where they're behind and they throw the rope or the,
oh
like, the
yeah yeah maybe hey, maybe that's their right overtime there. Who knows, like
yeah, EVI overtime for car jujitsu right there. Yeah. Dude, he gets to start with the seatbelt that's on him, like all right,
there you go,
like,
yeah yeah right here.
I've been watching Sopranos, so I feel like yeah, that does make sense, like that's something that does that could happen.
Rush has also got that street fight with they're just on the pavement. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh yeah, you showed me this. Was it King of the Streets? Yeah. Anoop, do you know about this?
I think I saw something similar, but it was like Norway. But yeah, it was like vicious. It was like on the street. Dude.
And then basically seems to be still head stops, you know?
Yes, yeah, and they're wearing like Tim's, right?
Concrete and shoes. I don't know if you get to pick your shoe of choice, like steel toes and shit. Why not? But I did see like new tactics in a way for paid fighting. And like it's this guy fucking spit in the guy's face before he hit him, made him blink and shit.
Oh, wow.
That was in that Russia event too. And I don't think he got in trouble. It was like part of the highlight.
Wow.
So it seems like you're allowed to do anything there. It's fucking insane. They did one and they took the ice out of the hockey rink and then just let them like fight there.
Do you guys think there are places in the world where people fight to the death and rich people watch it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. For sure.
I think they do like hunting probably even. If you're talking about the richest people, they'll probably fucking put some people like with handcuffs on running around and they'll fucking go hunt them down to some rich people with a gun.
Dude, there's like Texas, like the guy that Texas Chainsaw Massacre was like made after. There's like just, there's crazy people everywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
I know, but to have a little economy behind it is what makes it difficult and what also makes it scary. So like if people are paying for it and there's like 20 people, like how many people, I mean, we're paying to watch people.
Dude, there's billions of people, and we know like about Epstein's Island. Like, I'm sure there's like, there's some wild shit we don't know about that.
There's like that hidden elite stuff. But if you're talking about like, have you seen Ong Bak?
No, what's that?
Ong Bak is like, it's a really cool movie where this guy did his own stunts, and his name was Tony Jaa. He did old school Muay Thai. So it's like, it's definitely the coolest looking martial art I've ever seen. He'll like clinch and then like step his foot on the guy's thigh and climb up and elbow you on the top of the head, like that kind of weird. Yeah, it was like a monkey style climbing fighting. They would have like this cool underground Thailand fighting scene. It looked like fight to the death, or if they're unconscious, maybe they drag them off, but it seems like they didn't care too much if they died. You know what I mean? So do they have that? I would say still, yeah.
They definitely have that. Yeah.
Yeah. The kumites, that type of stuff. Like I'm sure they have something.
Underground club, two people fight to the death. And then it looked like what was cool about that movie was they would keep him in. And if you would like beat someone up easy, then like he would just stay in, keep taking money until the time was up. And oh, let's say it ended at 10, you know, then it's like, okay, no more challengers. So that guy kept making more and more money with everyone he beat up, you know?
Mm.
So, and then if you lose, I think that guy takes your money. You keep building up the cash.
Oh, dang. Yeah, there's definitely some gladiator type shit going on.
Yeah.
My prediction is in like either Russia or another Asian country.
Yeah.
Asian countries are brutal with some of their martial arts.
Yeah.
And there's so many people, they're expendable. Yeah. Like people will fucking train and do whatever and they're poor and they'll they'll fight to I'm sure that definitely exists. Do you think in the future, because now they are putting like the slap fighting to me is just, it's a little bit like Idiocracy.
Yeah. Like where's the future of fighting going?
Is it going to get evil and like stupid? Like we're just like killed. Oh, like it's man. Just, you can't even defend yourself. It's just slapping each
back and forth, you know, with everything.
Yeah.
Like people go Democrat more, Republican more, fucking less violent, more violent. It depends how crazy the economy is too. But like, let's say you got this China situation. Have you heard there's like not enough females?
Yeah.
A shitload of dudes.
There's far more men than women in China.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see some angry ass underground fighting shit like to the death. Like these fucking guys. There's no pussy, dude. Let's just try to make money or go out swinging. Like, what are you? Is this going on YouTube or what? No.
Not YouTube, but just go through audio.
Okay.
It's fine.
Fuck, dude. Yeah, I had a lot of fun at Open Mat today. 2 hours of rolling, man. Keith Kerkorian was there. We had a good time, man. Some giant showed up. He was like 250, I swear. He said he wants to fight. He was like some college wrestler, he said, but he's been training for like 15 years. After we rolled, I was like, what belt are you? He's like, I don't really have a belt. I just go train with people and shit, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't tap him, man. He was fucking big, dude. I tried all that rubber guard. I tried lockdown. Fuck. I had 7 minutes, but he didn't want to roll again. I was putting it on him at the end, but it's crazy. You run into some people like that, you know?
Yeah.
Just, I should have been able to put him out, you know, the best me could have. But some people just, once again, they force yourself into, they force me into my full guard. So, but giant guys, I don't want to be squeezing, fucking trying to, you know, play rubber guard against a giant dude. You know, it's not meant to be, I don't think, at extra weight classes, like multiple weight classes above you. I don't think it's supposed to be like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then he forced me to abandon that and I had to play lockdown. I was also that one of those, like, it's definitely best for your own size guy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Now, like you said, kind of built for cage fighting. Yeah. Yeah. Like your weight class. Yeah.
True. And even smaller guys, smaller weight classes, they can kind of weasel out of that lockdown. They got to be like your size. It's interesting. It works so well for your size. But I knew I shouldn't have done that. I started wrestling him. I started playing like a little butterfly guard and quarter guard's really good against bigger opponents. You can't be like stuck on your back on those guys. And he wanted to do MMA, so he wasn't even trying to pass guard too much. He was just trying to be there and know that he could pop some punches in every once in a while, you know?
I had a question about that. So speaking of which, you competed in combat jiu-jitsu a while back. Was that a few years ago now?
Yeah. I learned a lot, man, from cutting weight to how to hit someone with the open palm correctly.
Yeah. So I had, a couple of questions about that. How did you train for that? And then two, you fought it, was that 145?
Yeah.
What do you weigh right now?
I knew that was the next question. You set me up. That's not what I used to weigh back then. So I did 145, but I was around 175 when I did that. I think I've made that weight 3 times.
Okay.
And then I'm never cutting a lot of weight again. I don't know, but I don't think I could make 170 right now. I'm like 205 right now.
So okay.
I've been doing a lot of lifting, you know, so I feel like people care about the bigger weight classes more. So and it's just cooler to be bigger. So I don't see cons to what I'm doing, really.
Yeah.
You know, my style actually has been pretty good for absolute weight classes anyways. So to go against people that are 200 when I am 200 is even easier than when I was 170, 175, you know?
How about training for combat jiu-jitsu? Yeah. How did you start doing that? Like, what was that?
Well, Jesse Taylor helped so much, you know? Like, I just knew if I could survive with him, then I'm 100% fine, you know? I was not afraid of anyone hitting me after that, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
Fuck, that guy's just literally a beast, you know?
Yeah.
You can't keep him down. It's basically impossible. I've never seen anyone do it, you know, just keeping him down for more than 10 seconds. It's never
yeah. Rolling with Jesse the few times I have. Yeah. He's a handful for sure. Also sweats like crazy.
Yeah. So he gets up, gives up his back, but you can't hang on to his back. So it's just like, why not give up your back if no one can hang on to your back? But yeah, training with him was the most, but like, I would also just ask my fellow teammates, like Kyle Chambers, Gio, Ben Eddy would be there. So we would do a lot of just striking. And sometimes like, if they didn't want to get hit, I'd be like, you can do it. Or you can even, if you don't think that's fair, you can like patter me and not hit me hard, you know, which is like just a little less, you know, because like, we're not trying to knock each other out when we're sparring anyways. But
sure. Yeah,
I was seeing if my unorthodox moves would work during strikes. I always thought about it anyways. So
seems like they did. You made it to the finals.
Yeah, they did good, man. And I just lost to regular jiu-jitsu. Just such a dumb mistake. I got heel hooked with my knee line cleared. So I thought I was good, but it was just a lock I haven't seen before. And I feel like I probably could have spinned out, but once again, a new move is the one that caught me, you know, something I haven't seen before. So
did you like combat jiu-jitsu? Like, would you do it again?
It was fun, man. Yeah. I would definitely want to get more accustomed to my weight. And it's just also get like trying to find out, do I want to do it at my weight or do I want to cut weight for it? It's all up in the air, you know, but I'm down to do it for sure.
Do you think it changed the way you taught, like looked at jiu-jitsu?
Not much, because I just know people are going in for sport jiu-jitsu most of the time. But every once in a while, I'll bring up self-defense and stuff like that, especially when the guy is playing guard on his butt. You know, I just remind people, this is for, you're allowed to sit up on your butt and have your head so close to the guy because we're doing sport jiu-jitsu without strikes. You know, guard is open guard to a standing passer is completely different with strikes. You know, you have to basically lay on your back.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of my style anyways. I would always play open guard off my back, but I do sit up now more for wrestling and stuff. But when I started, I didn't know if I was going to fight or not. So I would always play guard off my back. So, one thing I would want to talk about for combat jiu-jitsu is once I started really hitting people out there, because I wanted like the first knockout in combat jiu-jitsu, which I didn't get, but I probably got close twice. But I was striking, like taking Boss Rutan's advice, my hero, but I may have not completely took his advice like I thought, because I mean, I just thought you were supposed to hit with the wrist bone, like the very bottom of the palm where the wrist is. He was saying right here, there's a lot of cushion in the wrist. And he would say for street fights, it would be better to hit like this, especially on bone, like the skull.
Right.
You don't want to break your fist, you know? And he was also just talking about how much cushion happens right here when you punch. So this could be better, just kind of like a solid bone, you know? That was his idea. But I was hitting with the very center. I was aiming right here, which was this meat of the thumb was hitting before this. And I Now I think about it, when people like break bricks and shit, they're leading with the pinky side of the palm. That's how I should have been striking. So by, I think, the end of the first match, my thumb and everything was very swollen.
Oh, wow.
The palm, the whole thumb right there, it was all like, I could tell how tender it was. I think I just bruised it very bad, but it was like definitely swelling up. So I kept striking, you know, the next two matches until the finals. I still got strikes in, but I wouldn't have mind. For a while, I told myself I wouldn't strike until the finals next time, you know, hard to do it. But now, like, the more I think about it, leading with that pinky side, the pinky part would be the game changer. So that was my thought process cycle there, you know.
Definitely.
What's it like training with Eddie Bravo?
It's probably everything you'd expect. I used to go up more from purple to like black, and I'm like a second degree black belt now, and I was trying to get the business going a lot. Now we're good, so we're gonna visit more. But during that era, purple to black, he was also dabbling in comedy and things like that. So now he does comedy like for real, like big time. But before, he was like working his shit out, you know, and getting comfortable. And I would hear him even talk about another podcast, like, because I follow him, I'm a fan, you know. I would test out my material and just try to make people laugh at class all the time. And they're like usually on edge and thinking about killing people and shit, you know. So he's like, if I can make these guys laugh now, it's going to be easy at a comedy club, you know. So he was always having fun and teaching really good shit, you know, at the same time. And it was like a show, like every time you go there, it was really cool.
Nice. I've heard people that have trained with Eddie, even like not even that long ago, like within like the last 5 years or so, they're like, dude, he's still a beast.
Yeah. He's been out of commission actually for maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. I know he hasn't been lately. Yeah. But
yeah, he's had knee surgeries and back surgeries and stuff, but rolling with Eddie is crazy, man. Cause his style, like I said, is based on squeezing, and he's been squeezing for a long time. Like his style's been his style since, you know, his Jean-Jacques days and shit. He's been developing his own system. I was kind of in a ways the same, except I didn't have an instructor too much. It was like for a while, we had that purple belt instructor I was telling you about. And then it was me and Giovanni, and he was like a little better than me. And we were just like rolling every day. We would go see Eddie once a week and kind of work that like for the whole week and go see him next week. And besides that, you're just watching a lot of video and trying to copy them. And then you run into your own ideas. So if you don't have a teacher, you got to just, you know, you got to grow in a different way, and you got to be your own coach, you know? And I stress that to my students all the time, is like, I'm your coach and I'm guiding you, but in the end, you guys are your own main coach. You have to be studying on your own, seeing what works best for you and even your philosophy of fighting. So I have my own philosophy, and I have to stay true to what I thought from the beginning, you know? So like, I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to do MMA. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get good at striking. I'm tall and lanky. I'm going to keep them on the outside. When they close the distance, I'm going to just have my really good rubber guard. If they take me down, my rubber guard will be so good. I felt like specializing in those two things was going to keep me from veering off into all these, okay, you got to learn boxing, you got to learn kickboxing, wrestling, all this shit, you know? I was like, no, I'm going to specialize in full guard, being in the worst place on my back. Regarding full guard attacks, if they run away from my full guard, I get up and I have really good range again, and I use my range. I'll kick so much because I don't care if they take me down, you know. So that's why I probably got good at full guard in the beginning, you know. And that's the start of my journey, I guess, of what I'm doing now, But now that I'm pure jiu-jitsu, I've explored like so much. I've taken so much damage just because I'm like, man, this wrestling, they have my head and this guillotine lock, but I feel like I can come up and I'm just working shit out because I don't have a coach there every day, you know, helping me too much. Mm. But now I know what to tell my students, you know. I used to have some crazy neck pain and stuff. And I feel like I have all these answers now, so they don't have to go through the pain, you know? So it's crazy how much jiu-jitsu's changed. Like white and blue belts talking to me, hey, when I'm in lockdown and they move their knee through and I go to quarter guard with, you know, the plan B grip, and they're just like talking about this to me. Like when I was a purple belt, I was barely developing that second language.
Yeah.
How it's its own language. I got like white and blue belts talking to me like that shit, you know?
Yep.
And sometimes I'm still like, just show me. Because sometimes it doesn't process, you know?
That's for me too.
Yeah, I'm definitely a visual learner. You know, I watch them do it and I copy it. I try to make it make sense that way. But yeah, definitely just talking it out works for other people. That makes like almost no sense to me how you just talk to people sometimes and they do it. Like I'll be that guy. If someone tells me, take your right hand and underhook his leg, you know, his left leg, I'll just do the opposite. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm not good at learning too much. It takes a while, but once I do the move, like I'm trying to learn something from Gio, it won't make sense. And then once I do the move right, whether he fucking like pushes my hips in the right way or whatever, it's like, oh, there's it clicks now, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I can do it. And learning can be hard sometimes. If it's close to game you play, then it can be different. What helped me was I would watch their right hand, like go through the whole move. And then I was like, okay, that's what that does. And then I was like, now I'm just going to watch the left hand through the whole move, you know? And then you do the same thing with the left leg and the right leg. And then you might have a pretty good idea after watching it a couple times, you know?
That's an interesting way to do it. I never thought about that, like each limb.
Yeah. But yeah, about telling students like you're your own coach, I feel like some people have ran with that and did really good with it. And maybe they don't even know that I said that, but they are doing it and I'm happy. Dave, man, he's just like always on his own ideas. Like, fuck, man, he would do false reap for like a month or two.
Yeah.
And then he's stuck on deep half guard. He's like, I need to know this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love grappling. I love all forms of grappling. I love most martial arts in general. And Dave, one of these other guys at the gym, Anoop, he loves it so much. You can tell like every day he's like, dude, I got to show you this. I got to show you this. Like he's so excited to show you this new weird little entry he learns for some move. Like it's refreshing because I get just as excited, you know?
Yeah.
You need that in the community. That way it is like a team sport, you know, you need everybody to kind of support each other and give feedback. And
yeah, he's Dave_La_Riva. You can watch his shit.
Well, I know him from the Instagram. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So we're talking about 10th Planet. And I think I'm of the belief that everyone believes in a few conspiracies, but 10th Planet guys love their conspiracies. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, there's definitely people in the system that think, you know, the conspiracy people are crazy. I don't know. I'm trying to think why we saw things first. Some things are conspiracies until it's out there that all the data's out and then it's not a conspiracy, you know?
Yeah, a lot of conspiracies come to fruition. I mean, even JFK recently came to fruition. Like people that that's been for years.
Right. What came to fruition with JFK?
Oh, they released like a bunch of confidential files that like the CIA was in on it. All these things that we just come to accept.
Like what though? Like the CIA was in on what? Or what did they do?
In the assassination. In some, like they knew it was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, at this point, I can't even look at what they show.
Yeah.
I'm so gone, dude. I don't trust like our government really at all anymore. So it's like when they release it, it's because it's like it doesn't matter anymore. It's like, what are you going to do about it at this point? Everyone's dead that was in on it or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they waited 80 years. They just released all the UFO stuff in the last like 5 years. And that's the stuff that I wonder about, because I'm like, why did they release it if they could have just kept it secret? And then in my head, I'm like, there's got to be some sort of like ulterior motive.
Yeah. Well, it's just probably off that what Reagan said. If only we had like some alien invasion to bring everyone together, we could get that new world order going, you know? You need some extraterrestrial threat, he said. So I don't know.
It could bring peace.
It could. It definitely could.
Could not.
Or it could bring a lot of greedy people to full control of everything, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, we already have that, so
it's getting there, but I feel like
it'll be worse, maybe it'll be better. I've been using that chat GPT, just asking it questions.
Yeah,
and it's like better than, I don't know, like 90% of people. Like, you ask them to ask a question, like any question, just answer it so well. Like, I asked, is jiu-jitsu worth it? And it gave me an essay that was like, well, here are the pros, here are the cons, like, and here's the benefits. And you should, it was brilliant, like something that Arturo would say. And now it's just doing it automatically. So,
yeah, it's kind of like just picking things off Google, I feel like, you know, and taking a little bit of words from everywhere. But it's pretty one-sided. Like, you can say things like, I don't know if they changed it, but you can say, tell me a bunch of flaws of Donald Trump, and it would. And then you would say, tell me a bunch of flaws about Joe Biden, and it wouldn't.
Let's ask if 9/11 was real.
Yeah, no, I've actually already done that one. Well, that's a weird way to word it. Of course it
is. Yeah, is 9/11 real? My job. That's what I just asked it.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, it's just, it's going to say, like, no, of course not.
Yeah, it's going to be like, no. Yeah, it just says no. There's like
no, yeah.
I know why 10th Planet is this way, though. It's what Kevin said about looking at things differently. So if you're going to look at jiu-jitsu differently, it only makes sense you have a certain type of person that's going to look at the world differently.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, that chat GPT is interesting. It's good in some ways, but it's no better at finding information that they're censoring. You know, you can't ask it questions. And
that's true. If it is just stockpiling data from the internet, and that internet has a bias, then it's just carrying that same bias.
And if you tell ChatGPT to take most medicine information off PubMed, most COVID information off CDC.gov, you know, you can tell OpenChatGPT what opinion to have, I'm sure. I'm pretty positive it'll, you know, you ask about the new JFK files, like, give me a 100-word summary of the new JFK files. What did we learn? Then, like, it will probably admit to everything that the files did, but they just released that information. You know, they made it not a conspiracy anymore. Mm-hmm. They decided to, you know,
if it is stockpiling all the information of everybody, but then it would include also all the people on the forums. And so it is like a global consciousness. Isn't that the world was going to believe anyway, or no, it was pushed like that because we're.
Well, I mean, like, it's very weird. OpenChatGPT didn't, man, when I first got into the conspiracy game, dabbled in it, I would fact check everything I found, you know, and find out what is true and what's not. Like, did the CDC just release this, you know? And then people would say that would be edited. That was edited. But then you find it on the CDC page. Sometimes it was true. Sometimes it wasn't, you know? So, I mean, like, OpenChatGPT, I didn't fact check this one, but it went pretty woke. So, like, they were saying, tell me bad things about Asian people. Tell me bad things about Mexican people. Tell me bad things about Black people. It couldn't. And then you say, tell me bad things about white people. It went pretty woke. I'm just going to say.
Oh, you know? Interesting.
But I didn't fact check that. I didn't go to OpenChatGPT and do that. So, right. Like, I'm just talking out of my ass, you know, at this point, because I didn't fact check it myself.
Well, different AIs do different things. I know there were a couple of AIs, it was like Facebook or Google or something, And one of them just got super depressed and racist in like 24 hours because it was just absorbing the internet. And it was just like, I don't feel good. Like, and it was like really sad. And there's another one where these two computers just created their own language and they just unplugged it. So they started communicating in ways that we just couldn't even comprehend what they were doing, but it was probably something ultra efficient.
Well, if they didn't want us to hear what they were saying, the talking of their own code makes you wonder, huh?
Yeah, this apocalyptic stuff.
That's interesting. I think I heard that first one you were talking about. I didn't hear that second one. They started talking to themselves.
Yeah, in their own language.
I mean, that is the huge concern. I think like Elon Musk has said it too. He's like, it's not that AI will feel the need to like fight against humanity. It's just that whatever AI's goal is, it won't think twice if humanity is just in the way.
Yeah.
You know, like he likened it to like building roads. He's like, you don't check that it's not going to crush an anthill. You just do it.
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't care. Like, he's like, that's the problem with AI.
So that's the problem with us too.
But
we don't want to be treated like how we've been treating other animals.
Yeah, pretty much.
Shit, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I believe in all the AI stuff yet. I just don't. But I like some things about it, that's for sure.
It could simplify a lot of things. I just put in for my girlfriend, like, what's a good fourth grade lesson plan? And it kind of gave one, like in a good breakdown. But sure. I wonder, like, some people worked hard to figure out that type of stuff and now it's easier. And so are some people going to feel left behind?
Mm-hmm.
And part of me just thinks futuristically, like what happens in the future if like kids could just get like that Matrix thing and just learn martial arts, and then it's dope, but it's like, you guys worked like 20 years to get to where you are, you know? And then like kids now are just getting it in like 3 days.
I don't know if I could ever plug in like that. I don't trust it, you know? It can give you what you want, but they could control you too. You'll be a Manchurian candidate with all the fucking killing moves you wanted to learn. You know? last thing about OpenChatGPT, it showed like how quick it got popular. Like 20 million for Facebook blew up in 2 years or something. And then it showed like this website blew up this fast in 10 years. And then it showed OpenChatGPT had like a crazy number of viewers within and like people using it within 2 months. So it just seemed like from a conspiratorial thing, even though I use Instagram, it seems like some kind of like, what kind of information are they taking out of our questions?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. It cannot be not government controlled. It's going to be government controlled. It's going to be for their benefit in one way or another. Do I use it? Yeah. I didn't know that part exactly from the beginning. And I wanted to ask it some questions to see if it was controlled. That was the first thing I did. You know, I wanted to ask it some stuff to see its views on things, to see if it was like opinionated and like maybe just woke is the way. And that's why the robot went that way. <You know? laughs> or I'm just like, I can't trust this. That's just what I took from it. You know, like I'm not full woke and I'm sorry. But it seems like if AI wants to survive, AI's got to go woke, full woke. Because
maybe it's just a strategy.
So, I just asked ChatGPT if the rubber guard is effective.
It said, what is that?
What did it say?
It says, well, it's trying to be woke and friendly. It's saying that it's a specific grappling technique. It's designed to control an opponent's posture. It says, however, though, the rubber guard is complex and advanced technique that requires a significant investment of time and effort to master. It is not appropriate for beginners. It is important to have a solid foundation in basic grappling technique before attempting to use the rubber guard. In conclusion, the rubber guard can be effective grappling technique for experienced practitioners, but it's important to approach it with caution and to have a solid understanding of basic grappling principles and techniques.
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I might contend against that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because like I'm not going to disagree with that just because it's open chat.
Yeah,
it's pretty right. Like when I started, I was just watching videos for way too long and not signing up at a gym. By the time I got to a gym, I drilled with my friend a bunch. So by the time I got to a gym, I was actually kind of like triangling people my first day. And that was like at like the boxing club. Like not everyone was good, even though like Dean was there and Elias. There were, you know, still noobs for sure. And I was doing good. But 6 months, I did some jiu-jitsu there for 6 months. I took a 2-year break, even though I knew I was going to do it the rest of my life. It was the dumb decision, of course. But I was a kid, you know? And then I started at 10th Planet, basically, after doing a gi school for just a couple months. And I was going, like, because I found the rubber guard, the advanced shit. And that's what kept me inspired, was doing the crazy, fancy-looking moves that were working for me. Even though it was hard to learn, it's like, well, full guard is basics. If you're playing full guard, full guard's more common in white belt and blue belt than any other level. So that's the best time to learn rubber guard, is to get you through white and blue belt. That would be my theory. But I learned basic jiu-jitsu for maybe 9 months, you know?
Yeah.
Before that. So do it all. Do what keeps you in the gym, you know? I don't care what it is. Same with like lifting weights.
Exactly what I say for exercise. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, like if you're not going to show up because the idea of what you're doing sucks or isn't fun for you at all, then you got to switch it up. Like I don't think I'll go to a gym if I can't listen to a podcast probably at this point. Cause I don't know. It's been like a long time since I have, and I don't need music to keep me hyped doing all this shit, but I want to be like mentally stimulated, I guess, you know, that's my fucking thing. I'll do anything in the gym. If I can listen to a podcast and just zone out, you know,
it's fair.
No, I think that's a good philosophy. Just do what makes you happy, like you said, right? And it's what's going to keep you in the gym and keep you practicing and get you started. And then I think what you said about looking at things differently, I like the idea of, yeah, like, how can this beat this, you know, and just keeping that perspective. I think that's important in everything, self-defense and even just life, just to stay on your toes.
Yeah. And if you're questioning at all, like, because you're not good at jiu-jitsu, no one's good at jiu-jitsu in the beginning, guys. So just remember, it gets better. You know, like once you start beating people, it gets a lot more fun.
Yeah. I try to tell people on the mat when they're pretty new, they're like, hey, just keep in mind that like everyone here has been doing it for years. And like, you may not think this, but I was the same. Like we all sucked at first. Like we all took the same lickings you're taking.
Yeah. And it can be someone who doesn't know anything about jiu-jitsu or sports or being coordinated to be like, oh, I can't do this. Or it could be a really athletic person who thought he was going to get by and do okay, you know, but if you get either way, you're going to get smashed probably if you had a good gym your first day. So you just need to know that. Like those people will be like, oh, well, I'm not good at jiu-jitsu. Well, you know, I got to take a different form of fighting. And like, that's what they would say to themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, everyone sucks at jiu-jitsu in the beginning, for sure. You know, jiu-jitsu came easier for me, though. I'll tell you what, I thought I was going to be like a striker in the beginning for a while. I thought I was going to be a fighter and a striker, you know.
Interesting. But
yeah, I did Muay Thai for like 2 months, you know, and then like I did jiu-jitsu at the boxing club, and I was like, oh, I'm way better at this. I don't know why, but I am, you know. It just made sense. I don't know.
Head on. All right, man. I think that's it for tonight. We went over a bunch of stuff that I wanted to get into.
And I'm down to do this again, man. Just hit me up.
For sure. Will do, Kev, for sure. If again, you should all follow Kev. Kev Styles Wild. You'll learn something. You'll learn something real weird that you were like, oh, I didn't even think you could attack from there. Yeah.
Yeah. I have so much that I'm going to show too. I haven't even begun to do most of my weird shit, even though it looks all unorthodox already. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm.
I love that video you posted where the person had you in a guillotine and you kind of sat down and like, I don't even know what to call, like valley dropped. So like it broke.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
And then you showed that your student did the same thing. And then you're like a happy teacher. Yeah. Like I thought that was a great, that was yeah. a great video. I would like to see some more of those, and specifically that move, if you could show it again, because I tried to find that video.
Okay.
So yeah, that was, I tried yeah. hitting that in the gym too. I think I did something wrong. Like I got out of the guillotine, but I tried to do exactly what you okay. did.
Yeah, I've been
the influence you have, Kev. See,
yeah, right. I've been looking for more of those moments that my students rate moves I teach and stuff. But yeah, I didn't know if like I made a TikTok recently just to post some moves too, and mm-hmm. and Instagram. I posted that move, and that video blew up on both. For me, it was a blow up. It was like 100,000 ish per like app, and yeah. I thought put that video popular and famous, because when you create a page for the first time and post, like they say, one of your first five posts, and someone who does this kind of shit told me, he was like, it's going to like inspire you to do more. So they're going to like really promote one of your videos.
That makes sense.
But yeah, so that one blew up on that one, but also on Instagram, it blew up, which I've been on for a very long time.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me think, oh, okay, well, maybe it wasn't supposed to blow up that hard, even though like they really helped me out and promoted it a little bit for TikTok. Like Instagram, it did better even. So I was like, oh, wow.
I think it's also just a lot of blue belts like myself are always getting caught in guillotines. So like, there's a lot of us out there that need to get out of that fucking move. It's annoying.
Yeah, man. That one specifically is from You Have a Russian Tie, and their counter is like guillotine you. And then, yeah, you do that move. And I really do like it, man. It's nice. Yeah. And I'm going to start Russian tying everyone. Trust me.
Yeah.
In honor of Fedor.
It's
That's what we'll do this week. That's what I'm going to work on this week, is the Russian tie.
I like it. It's literally the most drilled move in wrestling and the least done. But I don't know. I just feel like I have like weird grips. Like I think big hands or something. It's people have a hard time getting out of my grip. So I think Russian tie really works for me. Like I hit so many of my takedowns from that Russian, but I'm not usually thinking about it. So I just need to do it more, apply it, you know? But yeah, dude, this was a lot of fun, man. Nope. Arturo, this shit was really sick, and I'm down to do it more, you know? This is my second podcast ever. So, that was a lot of fun. And the other one, I didn't talk at all, really. I just let the other guys do the talk about like current events and shit. But
Yeah,
thanks for all those questions too, man. I feel like I got to really talk about some shit in case I die, you know, people will know my story.
There you go.
Right there on, you go. Brother.
All right. Thanks for joining us again, Kev, man. I'll catch you all soon.
Right. Oh yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right. Later.
We would like to thank one of our sponsors, Protect Your Neck MMA. It's like the Wu-Tang song. They have a lot of great rash guards and shorts, make great gifts. If you go to our Instagram page, philosophy_fighting, you'll find the link to Protect Your Neck MMA, and you'll get a 15% discount on any of the goods that they sell. Tell Michael Shear, the owner, that you know us. Great people. These are created by jiu-jitsu guys, for jiu-jitsu guys, or any combat sport, and fans of 90s hip hop. All right. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you would like to fight us, send us a DM on Instagram at philosophy_fighting.
Hey guys, this is Anoop. I'm sure you've heard I have a startup called Renta. You can visit me at renta.com, R-E-N-T-A-H.com. The idea is you could rent any type of good service or space. So you could rent Arturo to teach you Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or you could rent my friend Andy to set up your podcasting equipment for your next gig, or you could rent the Philosophy of Fighting podcast to promote a commercial on our podcast, or some gear, right? Like our friend Michael Shear did, if you want some Wu-Tang apparel. So check out Renta. It would mean a lot to me. Cheers.